We have Brooke Reynolds joining us today. Brooke, would you please introduce yourself and tell us what information you have that might be helpful to people in the community regarding emotional help and behavioral health?
Oh, absolutely. So my name is Brooke Reynolds. I am a behavioral health clinician here in Wrangell, so right next door to the radio station. And I've been here actually for 14 years in the community working with folks. And, you know, we've had some difficult seasons here, and this is a particularly difficult one. And today I just wanted to kind of share some ways that we can support each other during this time.
Let's go ahead and get started with that. You have a few categories. What's your first category topic?
So the first way that I was thinking of this is individually. I mean, we are doing this together, but each piece of this, each of us has a role that we play. Whatever you're doing, you can take care of yourself too, so that you can be there to support others. We can't really support each other from a place of empty. And so some of the ways, and these are things I think a lot of us know, they're very basic things. It would be things like making sure that you are taking some time to stop and eat a meal, grab something to eat, even if you're not really hungry. And that would be normal. Let's just normalize that. We're going through a period of grief. Getting out, getting some exercise, getting some fresh air, trying to maintain whatever schedule you have that makes sense. A lot of us are doing a lot of extra things, and that's fine too. But like some of your regular schedule activities, taking breaks. If you're, you know, working you a job where you can step out, take those breaks as you need them. There's also things like using like self-talk. This gets into more kind of the realm of we start thinking about therapy, but anybody can do positive self-talk, which sounds maybe weird at this point, but recognizing that it is also okay to be both. We're going to be very sad, and there are going to be times where we're going to be okay and holding both of those, and that's very normal for us as individuals. Other things and ideas, if you're somebody that likes to write things, if you're somebody that likes to sing things, if you do art, just allowing your system to do the things that it needs to do, and connecting with the people around you as well is a good way to take care of yourself during this time.
It looks like you also have some ideas for families.
Yes, because obviously a lot of us are doing this as family groups. People with small children might need some additional supports and ways to think about this. One thing, and you heard this a moment ago, we're talking about individual, but as a family, your family routines are still very important, and they're really stabilizing for you and if you have kids in the household. So making sure, like, having meal times, even if it's, like, just dinner time together, some place where people can connect together. If there's bedtimes, wake-up times, we know a lot of people with school kids probably already have this, but keeping on schedule and doing that. Reading time, if you already do that with your kids, continue to do that. Playtime is still really important for our kids, and allowing them to do that, because they're also going to grieve slightly differently depending upon the age range. Our little ones is going to be maybe a little harder to understand, or older ones we can talk through more things, but allowing them to do whatever they need to do there. And also too, recognizing that each member of the family is going to grieve differently. Kids, adults, parents are all going to grieve differently. And then just having some patience and tolerance for ourselves during that period of time.
In fact, it sounds like it's beneficial to just kind of keep a routine and some sense of normalcy, especially maybe for kids.
Yes, especially for the kids and all ages. And we adults need that too. We need to kind of know that we can kind of find our footing again. It's literally like we've had the rug pulled out from underneath us and we're trying to find our footing again. And we do that by connecting with people, the places, the things that are important to us.
And then what was the other? Was there a group?
No, I just had brought some additional information about like supporting children through grief. We have this lovely pamphlet that one of our clinicians who's out of Sitka named Abby made for us. And by the way, if somebody wants to get these are at our office. So if you just want to grab one, this is actually at our office. And it gives just some tips about like at the different ages. And I'm not going to go over maybe all the different ages, but just recognizing that your little ones, the concept of what has happened is going to be vastly different. They may not be able to understand why they can't see so-and-so or whatever. Your older kids are going to get that. And so recognizing that, I think sometimes people are like, oh, how do I respond to that? And mostly also acknowledging that regardless of the age, like, kids need to be able to acknowledge it just like adults that this terrible thing has happened, and not being afraid to have those conversations at the appropriate age, developmental age for our kids as well, I think is really, really important, because I think people are afraid. The other thing I just want to throw out here too is that I think a lot of people are worried about saying the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing, children or even just friends or family or whatever, neighbors. And this is kind of the place where you almost can't do any wrong. I don't really mean like you can't do any wrong, but like asking is better than not asking. Offering support is better than not. If you're afraid you're going to mess it up, just do the best you can on that. And I think most people will understand that. And it's better than not reaching out. And so it's better to err on the side of like, hey, how's it going? What's it like for you? Than to not, because you're afraid you're going to upset somebody.
And I know that's a difficult thing for people to do when they're just kind of afraid. What do I say? Mm-hmm. How do I help? It sounds like it's just better to try.
It's better to try than to not. And I know some of us are better at that than others in general. But you'll be amazed even just a smile or just a quick check-in what you can do. And this is the concept, too, that I kind of have in my mind of, like, this tragedy is heavier than any one person can bear. And I kind of have that, if anybody sees the logos about like lifting heavy stuff, it's like a team lift. And that's kind of the concept in my head right now, is like our whole community is lifting together. Not one of us can just bear this load. And if we're all doing our part, but taking care of ourselves, our families, our children, we can all lift and bear this together.
Okay, great advice. So if somebody, you referred to a pamphlet, if somebody wants to pick that up or any other information, can you tell them where you're located?
Yeah, so we're located right across from the radio station here on Church Street, and it's the Search Behavioral Health Building. And if anybody wants to contact us, because that's a good point as well, if you just want some additional support, some ideas, or need some help as well, our phone number is 907-874-5000, and you can get straight to our front desk. Right now, too, we're just letting people come in, and if you just need to talk. So if you're kind of worried about, oh, like, how is this going to work out in the long term? Right now, we're just open and we're available for people to come in and get the support, or just call it in if that's more comfortable for you as well. We're just here to lift this load with everybody else.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming in today, Brooke. It was great to talk to you.
Thanks, Cindy.